Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie. It's Connie for us. Is it Connie?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Connie.
Okay. Connie, yeah. Connie, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
What happened at Dublin Airport?
Well, we got in at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd say there was four or five other flights came in at the same time. We'd absolutely no problem going through baggage collection, customs. When we got to the other side, we made our way to get a taxi.
Yeah.
And when we got to the taxi rank, I suppose there would have been a couple of hundred people queuing, right? And the taxis were fairly spasmodic. They weren't like, you know, 10 taxis there. There was one or two taxis. Then you'd wait for another taxi to come. So we ended up waiting over 2 hours for a taxi.
Hang on a second. Just Connie, sorry. Joe with RT Daddy. You landed in Dublin Airport at 1.20. Was that this morning?
About 1.20. No, it was Yesterday morning.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah, yesterday morning.
You land at Dublin Airport at 1.20 and there was a number of flights coming in AM and on what is effectively Wednesday morning. You then got your bags.
Tuesday morning.
So you went out to the taxi rank.
Yeah.
And how many people were on the queue at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I would say there was a couple of hundred.
Wow.
There was nearly four rows deep of people queuing for taxis.
I'd say your heart dropped and your bags when you saw that queue.
Well, I tell you, Joe, I actually thought it would move really quickly. Yeah. Like, I've been there and the taxis come, you get in and off you go, and it's a fairly fast process. I thought it would be an hour maximum. I certainly didn't think we'd be over 2 hours waiting at that hour of the morning.
So you're standing at the taxi rank, 2 a.m. in the morning. What time did you actually get into a taxi?
We got into the taxi, I'd say it must have been about 3.45.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're now heading home.
That's correct. Now, the issue that I had was while we're waiting in the taxi queue.
Which are two children, 8 and 13.
That's correct.
In the middle of the night. In the middle of the night.
Yeah. While we're waiting there, these other taxis start driving up on the road at the other side, not on the taxi rank. And then they start calling people over and people jump the barriers and get into those taxis. So everybody in the queue at this point is tired. They're getting angry.
Yeah.
So that then delayed the taxis that were able to go around into the taxi rank for us. So when we eventually got a taxi, I asked the taxi driver, what's going on with the people that are jumping the barriers and going into taxis?
Yeah.
And he said, those taxis are unregulated, and before the people get into the taxi, they have €25 clocked up. They charge them €25, and on top of that, they pay their fare.
And taxi fares from Dublin Airport are expensive, I tell you.
But the issue is the fact that, you know, like, what's the difference between regulated and unregulated? Why do some taxis...
Well, I presume what they mean is, have we verification of the 20? How am I going to get verification of the €25? Like, we have to... what they mean by unregulated, I presume, is that when you get to Dublin Airport now, you can either go onto your app, if you have a FreeNow or an Uber account or whatever, insofar as there are Ubers in Ireland, you can order a taxi and they say, I think it's go to car parking area number 18. And you go down there and wait. But obviously people got on the queue, the taxis came up, every taxi is licensed and they pay a significant amount of money to the National Transport Authority every year for the benefit of the licence and for the meter and for the sign on the roof and for the sticker on the side. And you pay extra if you want to service Dublin Airport. So they come up and they basically shout out a name, is it?
They don't shout out a name. They just put down the window and then people just say, will you take me? And then the people leave the queue, jump over the barrier. It's like something that you'd see in a movie, Joe.
Sounds like mayhem.
It was actually mayhem, yeah. So then what happens to the people who are queuing?
Who told you that it's an extra... Well, there's an extra fee from the airport anyway. There's a pickup fee. Who told you that the guys and women on the other side, they put 25 quid extra on? But you can't do
the
that.
Driver,
it's illegal.
The driver that took us, who has been driving for 40 years to Dublin Airport, he told me, he said they are unregulated. They charge you 25 euros before you get into the taxi. And then you have your fee on top of that.
Yeah.
It's like scammers, actually. That's what it's like.
Okay, we have a long reply from Dublin Airport Authority, which basically says everything is okay. And I don't know what you're on. It said we have brilliant stats. I don't know how to work up these stats. In May, Connie, in May.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sure this is consolation to you and your two children in the middle of the night waiting for an expensive taxi at Dublin Airport. And by the way, each taxi pays a fee to Dublin Airport to actually park there. So in May, 90% of our passengers got a taxi within 10 minutes of arriving.
No, that's, well, maybe during the day.
Indeed. But, Connie, wait for this. Connie, I put it to you, through Dublin Airport, indeed, average taxi wait times at Dublin Airport have never been shorter.
Right. Well, maybe during the day, but not after midnight.
You're adamant you waited nearly 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, we were waiting. We were waiting 2 hours.
Well, they say the longest any taxi waited, the longest any passenger waited for a taxi at Dublin Airport in the early hours of this morning was 23 minutes.
Which
we suggest is less than you typically wait for a taxi on a rank in Dublin city centre at that time of day. Now, hang on. If I get a taxi in Dublin city centre on a rank, I know it's difficult. Mm. I don't pay extra for getting into a rank. And the taxi driver doesn't pay extra for sitting on that rank. They do if they want to go, if they want to service Dublin Airport and the money. But anyway, they're basically saying
everything's fine.
Well, they're basically saying 90% of passengers get a taxi within 10 minutes. And the early hours of this morning, the longest waiting time was 23 minutes.
You're telling
me, Connie, there was a couple of hundred people in the queue.
Easy. Yeah.
Okay, easy. Okay. Joe at RT.ie, Dublin Airport Authority say the longest passengers wait on a taxi now in Dublin Airport is 10 minutes. And in the early hours, in exceptional cases, it could be 23 minutes. You were waiting from 2 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the morning. The sun must have been coming up at that stage, was it?
Actually, we got in the door of our house in Swords and it was starting sunrise.
Okay. Frank. Hello, Frank. Joe at RT.ie. Come in, Frank.
Joe, how are you doing?
Land on any runway you want, Frank. Tell us, what do you think of what Connie is saying and what the Dublin Airport Authority are saying?
Listen, Connie's completely correct. I'm a regular user in and out of the airport every week for business, and I never use the taxi rank because it's so inefficient. They keep all the cars down in a pound while they are there. They're very slow to release them up to the rank. When they come to the rank, it's just very slow and very badly run. So what you find is, I'd say the taxi guys are just getting frustrated, so they don't bother going into the pound because they're kept waiting there too long. In my view, I always use Free Now or Uber. You do it when you come off through customs and you have a taxi within 5 minutes in Section 18. It's the quickest way out of Terminal 1, Terminal 2. And I would never go to the taxi rank because it's just, it doesn't work.
But
and
don't
it's
you,
always bad. There's always a queue.
And Dublin Airport Authority, they get their pound of flesh Free Now as well, because they charge the taxis, I think it's €2, to go into Section 18.
Isn't there a barrier in and out? Yeah. Yeah, and they make them go in there, which makes it slower to get people on. I mean,
how else would they get their money?
Well, Joe, they're going to charge people dropping off now coming soon. So they've got to prove it for that. It's just a money-making exercise. But I wouldn't mind if it was well-run, right? I mean, I'd pay the €1, €2 fee if I could get a taxi quickly, which the only way to do it is through the app. You know, that taxi rank is... I've complained 100 times, Joe. They just don't listen. They don't care.
Well, if they ever sent you those stats in May...
I don't believe them.
In May,
I don't believe them.
In May, 90% of passengers got a taxi within 10 minutes.
Well, no, well, maybe it's because no one's using the bloody rank, but when you come off and you want to get a taxi, you're not going to get one quickly at the rank, and the whole thing doesn't work well. It's very inefficient. I travel all over the world, Joe, and I can tell you now, it's one of the worst airports for taxi ranks. The worst.
And what is wrong with, but you say the configuration when you come out, there's one, almost a single file queue. Each taxi pulls up one by one instead of there being two islands in the middle where people can also... So everyone has to get on at the same curb, don't they? Same curb,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, and then the holding area is too far away. So just think about it, right? So let's say there's six taxis parked up, filling the taxis. Then when they leave, they call another six or eight up, and that takes a few minutes. The whole thing is just inefficient. I mean, I can't understand, instead of getting on TV, why the CEO doesn't go and fix that problem. Just stand there for 2 hours, you'll see what the problem is.
Okay. But by the way, Connie, you mentioned that you live in Swords. Was there no, well, it's 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Was there any other, and I don't want you walking in the middle of the night with children either. Was there any other way of getting home? There's no buses, I presume, is there?
I'm not sure if there was buses, but like a taxi was the way for us to get home.
Yeah, because you're a family.
Yeah.
Okay. And the sun was coming up over Bereva and Swords as you.
Yeah,
beautiful,
home.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. But it's not something you planned to see the sunrise in Dublin when you came back.
No, and the other problem, because we came from like a warm country, we were freezing standing there.
Okay, Joe, you're listening to Connie.
Yeah, hi.
Joe, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Please,
right.
Step forward.
I'm a Dublin taxi driver of 40 years' experience.
Yeah.
I recently have moved to out of the city. I live in Wicklow now.
Okay.
So it's not worth my while paying the DAA charge to work the airport because I won't be using it. Yes, in the last 15 minutes, I have dropped the gentleman to the airport.
Yeah.
I looked across. There's a big, huge queue of 100, maybe more people on the other side of the barrier. And I cannot service them. I have to drive away from that airport empty.
Because
I haven't got that airport permit.
And the airport permit costs you how much?
I don't know. I haven't done it in years.
It's a few hundred.
The last time I had it was the 80s.
Yeah, I think it's in the region of a few hundred. And I don't know, do they give everyone, if you say I want to buy an airport permit, do they say to you, I wonder, do they say, do you have a wheelchair accessible? Anyway, we'll find out. But you're saying you were looking over at the queue 10 minutes ago.
Well, 15 minutes ago now.
Do you think that queue would have cleared in 10 minutes? That's what they say.
Not a hope in hell. No. That queue will be there. That queue will be there for the rest of the day. You know, it'll be keeping added to and people will be coming, you know, there will be a service. But with the amount of cars that are dropping at Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, that queue would be halved if I was allowed to take one of them jobs off that rank. But DAA want their money. They want their pound of flesh.
Yeah.
And the thing about the €25, see, it was a taxi driver said that with a vested interest. His interest is he paid the fee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to say, they're robbing you and they're doing this. That's not true whatsoever.
You've no idea how much that taxi permit is at the minute.
Yeah, I know it was 500, and they did suspend. They did suspend
during COVID.
Several times when during the crash, you know, 10, 15 years ago, because there was far too many, you know. But now I think they're actually actively trying to get new drivers because it's just Dublin Airport is one of the busiest airports in Europe.
Yeah, but when this came up, I was looking at the DAA website earlier on, and it goes on about, you know, permit for pre-booked only. And for the life of me, I couldn't, they all the terms and conditions and what you can do and can't do, but I couldn't find the fee. How much do Dublin Airport Authority pay or want from you?
With all due respect, Joe, I don't think the fee is the issue. There should be no fee. Anybody driving up there, any licensed taxi driver who is vetted, licensed and investigated, has the right to pick up on any rank in this city except Dublin Airport.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, I should be allowed to take a job off that.
Yeah, and DAA get a fee from every airline for every passenger.
Well, I mean, like, they're the authority running the airport and they're not running it properly. I mean, it's ridiculous waiting. You land in Lanzarote, there's a big queue there, and it's gone, and you're 15, 20 minutes is all you'll wait.
Okay, well, stay there, Joe. Dermot Duggan, you are a taxi driver. Have you got a permit for Dublin Airport?
No, Joe, but I did many, many years ago. But I gave it up when they increased it. I think it's now, I don't know the exact amount it is now, but I think it's 600 a year now.
Well, you won't find out on our website anyway.
Yeah, but I just want to confirm what your other listeners were saying to you in relation to. I sent an email many years ago to Dublin, to DAA, because it used to kill me to see so many people queuing up waiting.
Okay.
And I know that they'd be waiting substantial times. I see it every day. But I sent in saying that on average 300 taxis leave Dublin Airport empty every hour.
Okay.
And I just think it would be a very simple thing for DAA to have a system where when the queue is that long, when they don't have their cars to service it, to allow the cars leaving, you could charge a nominal fee to you or have a neon sign saying that it's open. Do you know?
What you're saying is that a taxi dropping, like Joe was, dropping someone to Dublin Airport should be allowed to pick up someone in Dublin Airport instead of driving out empty.
When the queue is substantial like that, I mean, I take the point. Preference has to be given to the people who paid for the permit to walk the airport. I don't have a problem with that, but one thing that irritates me is when I see so many people waiting so long.
I know, with families, children,
and they are substantial times. They really are.
DAA said they're not. They said the average waiting time is 10 minutes.
Joe, I only dropped twice. I went to the airport yesterday and the queues were on Terminal 2 were unbelievable.
Okay. More coming in. Thanks, Dermot. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Connie. Thanks, Frank. Dara Began. Dara.
Hello, Mr. Joseph. How are you doing
good.
This fine day?
Tell us, Mr. Dara, what happened?
Well, first of all, hello from beautiful, sunny Costa del Galway. Yeah. I was a very, very frequent airport user, by which I mean I would have done over 120 flights a year to work for many, many years. And I gave up on that taxi queue at the airport about 10 years ago. And there were two things what done it for me. One was looking at some poor businessman on a day trip getting soaked to the skin in his suit waiting for a taxi. And two was when I got absolutely fecked out of it by a taxi driver when, like your last caller, I got into a taxi and said, can you bring me to my office in Swords?
Oh, good luck.
And I was given a diatribe about how much he had spent and how dare I only be going to Swords. By the way, the fee at that time was €25 to go from the airport to Swords, so I kind of felt that he had nothing to say about it. So I switched to what was then the Halo app, what then became the Free Now. It's Free Now. It became My Taxi. And the other big reason was because they didn't take, most taxis did not take card, and I was travelling mostly on company expenses and I wanted to pay with my card.
Okay.
And from that day to this, I have never waited more than, I don't even press the button on the app till I'm outside the airport, outside the terminal, because the taxi will pick me up in 2 to 3 minutes. Now I don't fly as much. I'd say I have eight or nine flights this year where I would have had eight or nine flights a month.
Okay, well, but at the other end, if you do, God, you're a brave man saying openly on national radio that you do 120, you did 120 flights a year.
Oh, I did do, yeah. Oh, I lived out of a bag. But now I'm on the other side of it. I do Airbnb. If you ever want a luxurious stay, Joseph, with Rocco the Macaw looking out over the River Liffey, give me a call. But I do Airbnb, so I have incoming guests.
Okay, but go to your destinations. What's the taxi queues like at your destinations, obviously, other than Dublin Airport? How does Dublin compare and contrast?
Badly. I mean, in those days, I would often be flying to the likes of Schiphol, where there'd be a whole line of Teslas waiting to pick you up. I've never seen anything quite as disorganised. But once I switched to the other app, and now when every week I have incoming guests for Airbnb who come and stay with me, they're usually American, and I tell them the same thing, day or night, 4 a.m. or 11 a.m. I said, don't hit the app. Load up the app before you come. Don't hit the button till you're outside the terminal. And as soon as I hear they're outside the terminal, I turn on the oven to put scones in, and they're at my door when the scones are baked.
Okay.
So, and I've never had, and more recently I had friends coming, five of them arriving in from Greece, I think, from Donegal, friends of mine, and they weren't able to get a bus to Donegal at that time. So I said, no problem, come in to me. And that was the longest wait I've ever had. I think they were waiting nearly 10 minutes. That was the longest wait I've ever had.
Because they used the app. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dara. Let me go to Eddie Mal and then Cahill. Eddie, you're a taxi driver. You're on Uber. What's Dublin Airport Authority say the maximum people wait is 90%, which is some percentage. The maximum people wait is 10 minutes for a taxi at Dublin Airport.
Well,
and taxi wait times have never been better.
Well, I wouldn't say it the other night, all right, because that lady is correct. It was very, very busy there that night. The queue at T2 was incredible, the size of it. And I got my request on the app. I wasn't even in the airport. I was on my way down from Airside, if you know, and so it's.
Yeah, but this is from the Uber or the Free Now app.
Yeah, it's I was on the count for the airport. But
okay.
I went straight from, say, 7 or 8 down to zero in a matter of seconds, and I went up. I got my passenger. But I did ask the lady how long she was waiting there, but she said as on her way out that her daughter pressed the app
and she got it.
We're coming out. Okay. Terminal 2, and like within 3 minutes I was there and we were gone.
Okay.
So maybe it's something DAA needs to look at, as in, you know, they need to be guiding people this way. If there's not going to be enough of the standard taxis on the standard ranks there.
So it sounds like section 18 is going to overtake that queue, so to speak.
I think so. More people are going to start using the other way.
But it also, section 18 also means if you drop someone to the airport, you look at the app, and if you get a fare from the airport, you can take it from section 18.
Oh yeah, once you're registered with the DAA, which is only €10 per year. So
yeah, but if you want to go into the pound or the cash, as they call it, and queue up to get right curbside at the airport, it's a different fee. Okay, Eddie, Cahill. You used to work in the airport, tell us.
Yeah, and no, I've noticed these queues at night, and to be honest with you, it's a little bit wrong to say that the queues are not lengthy. They are very lengthy at night, certainly between maybe 1 o'clock in the morning till 5. And it's very, very often that they'd have to make calls out to get taxis into the airport to pick up these people, some with permits, some without permits. But you know, it's a public road, and from my own information, a public road is available to taxis to make pickups and drop off passengers. So,
have you any idea how much the permit is to pick up?
It was
at the
600,
airport.
I believe it's 4 figures now.
Wow.
But I stand to
you
be
believe
I
it's
stand
a,
to be
a thousand euro.
Yeah, I stand to be corrected on that, but without the DAA coming,
well,
without
the DAA,
much,
I can't find out on their website.
Well, it certainly was 600. You won't find it on the website. It was 600. I believe it's 4 figures now. And
why can't I find it? Why can't I find it out on the website? What's your thinking?
Well, I presume they'll say that it's commercial interest and that it's not available. But I mean, most taxi drivers up there tend to work between. They seem to arrive in the airport around 4 o'clock. You'll often see about 100 taxis parked there.
Right.
They go for their coffee and they come out for the American flights. But at night they go missing, because at night all their money is made in Dublin City. It's far easier to get 5, you know, short runs and make your money rather than get that.
Okay,
one
now Dublin.
Taxi
well, apparently Dublin Airport Authority said it's only 300 per year. Well, if it's only this is where the argument's going, Cahill. If it's only 300 quid a year, why charge it to the taxi drivers of enough charges?
Okay. I think of an answer. It's quite busy during the day, it's fair to say, and can be lucrative to some taxi drivers to just walk the airport, and there are quite a lot who just do. But at night, the airport should be opened up to non-permit and permit holders. It is a public road. Every single road in the airport, Airside and Landside. No, wait, let me finish.
Okay.
Every single road, Airside and Landside, is down on a map as a public road for enactment of the Road Traffic Act. So that includes drinking, driving and parking, etc.
Here, and then the airport police have jurisdiction as well, and there as well.
Correct,
But Cahill, surely the 300 a year which the AA say taxi driver has to pay them to pick up people at the airport, which you say is a public road, so it's the only fee of its kind in the country. The 300 quid, I presume, was brought in before there was apps. before people had mobile phones?
Well, no, it would have been brought in. Do you remember there was a time here where permits were worth a fortune and everybody wanted to work the airport? This is before flights became 10 a penny and everybody was using the airport.
Okay.
It was very lucrative to use a taxi service in Dublin Airport. But now, let's be honest, everybody can travel now and have the airport caught up. Now, I know that the airport have a meeting every morning. They know exactly how many passengers are arriving during the day. They know how many passengers will use Burger King, will use Big Mac, we'll use everything, including the taxis. But for some reason, it goes beyond the level that at night people could sit down and say, we need X amount of taxis to service the airport. I've seen it happen. Okay, I've also seen people guide it to the departure road for where taxis are dropping off, saying, look, it would be quicker, especially people with families or people disabled. You would be quicker to go up to the departure road and get a taxi up there. I will tell the airport police to allow you to get this. And I would interact with the airport police and I would say, is there any possibility you could allow this particular passenger for this particular reason?
Well,
and they're most gracious in what they say.
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
This is just a request. And if it falls, if they say no, that's fine. But most of them are very gracious, and most of the taxi drivers are very
all the staff in the Dublin Airport are very, very civil. But they've got rules and regulation. But I'm saying,
oh no, they have, and they have to apply.
Yeah, but
them,
I'm
but
saying
to,
why?
Yes,
you well, see, well. you're saying I can ask you the two questions every civil servant asks when someone comes in with a new idea. One, how much would it cost? And two, who will police it? You say, lift the permit between 5 and 12 or 12 and 2. Who's going to police that? How do you check?
Well,
it?
They have two official taxi ranks, one in Terminal 1, Terminal 2. And they're both policed by officials that police it. And they're also policed by the airport police. If it comes to a fact where there are too many taxis, well, then the airport police have it in their remit to remove them.
I've never heard that complaint. There was too many taxis at Dublin
Airport. No, that's my point. My point is that I don't believe that would ever happen. But when you talk about rules and regulations, they are there to say if there's too many private cars parked, if there's too many tags, they will ask to move for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
and some of them just move around the back of the airport to park and they come back in 10 minutes' time. Or some of them drive around, no problem.
Okay, Cathal, thanks indeed. Dara Beg and Margaret. Oh, Margaret, you see Margaret, go. Hi. Sorry, you didn't see that. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. 12 o'clock Sunday. What happened into Monday morning?
We came in about 12:30 Sunday night into Monday morning.
Yeah, and you queued according to DAA, the most you queued was 23 minutes.
No, we queued for an hour and 15 minutes before we got a cab. And we had to join the queue right at the end. There's a little tunnel, a cover,
and it went
back down. It was lashing rain. It was freezing. We'd arrived in from Lanzarote and we didn't get a taxi till 1:45.
Okay.
And then when we got into the taxi, Joe, the queue was the same length when we left.
Okay. Margaret, thanks. Good to meet you, Margaret. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Michael Walsh, I'm so sorry. This only happened a few hours ago, Michael.
It did. It happened at 6 o'clock this morning, Joe, unfortunately.
And you were in your taxi. What happened?
I picked the chap up. I won't say where.
Well, it was in Dublin.
Oh, it was in Dublin,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah, you're allowed to say that.
And I brought him into the city centre. Can I tell you where in the city centre?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Into Dame Street.
Okay.
Outside the Central Bank.
Yeah.
And just as I pulled in, Joe, this young lad had his hand in where I keep my coin changer.
Oh, he was in the front seat?
He was in the front seat.
That's unusual, is it, these days?
Well, the passenger could give him any chance.
Okay, good point, yeah.
And got into the front seat, tried to rob my coin changer. Of course, I caught him trying to rob it. And we had a bit of a scuffle in the car.
Yeah.
And a young chap passing, he looked like a tourist, came to the assistance. But the two of us couldn't hold this young lad. He actually, when he ran off, he had no top on him because I was after dragging the top off him.
Yeah.
His clothes. And he ran down, and I'm not exaggerating, Joe, when I say there must have been 100 tourists waiting for buses and seeing all this. And I rang the guards 999 at 6:01.
This morning.
This morning.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
At 6:01.
Yeah.
and he said he'd be out in a couple of minutes. And I seen where the young man ran, and I drove down that way, which brought me under the case, because he went through Temple Bar.
Yeah.
And I rang the guards back when I was at the Heath Beneath Bridge, and I told the guards exactly where I was, and he said, there'd be somebody out within 10 minutes. 45 minutes later, I was still sitting there. Not a sign of a guard.
Okay. Now, when Michael, when he got in the taxi, was there any, were you, like, how long have you been driving?
Oh, 20 odd years.
Okay. So you're well, you're, unfortunately,
I thought it was a young lad going to work.
You thought it was a young lad going
to work. That out of the morning.
And he didn't show anything untoward. He didn't behave.
He didn't show anything untoward. As I told him, he had his hand in where I put my curry in changer.
Yeah, yeah.
Tried to grab it. Then a scuffle ensued.
And did a scuffle a scuffle happen in the cab, in the taxi?
In the car. In the car. He was throwing digs at me. And my arms are black and blue.
Yeah.
And parts of my chest.
Was he saying anything to you, Michael?
I won't say the words he was saying, Joe.
Was he saying, give me the money, give me the effing money? Or
he didn't. He just told me, the effing songs are going. Let me go and stop and
Now, okay, so you held on to him. You pulled off
his
top. Now, I'm sure the brand North Face was there, was it?
The brand, fuck Joe.
Nothing cheap, yeah.
He had three of them North Face tops on him.
Yes.
And then he had another one underneath that, which was an Adidas top. So he's wearing four tops.
Four tops, yeah.
And his son reckons that he wear these tops here because if they're going to mug somebody in town, they might have a yellow top on. And if you take one of them off, he's wearing a blue top.
And were they different colours, the four tops?
All different colours. The four, completely. The blue one, an orange one, a white one, and another different colour, I think it was red as well. I still have them in the car. And his hat, not face hat.
So was he topless? Was he four topless when he ran away? Was he naked from the waist up?
He had his jacket in his hand, topless, running down to Temple Bar. At 6 o'clock in the morning. And the tourists are all looking at this.
And then I presume he had a pair of trousers on boxers like masculine or something. Masculine, is he? But
tracksuit bottoms he had on.
He had what? Oh, tracksuit bottoms. So he wasn't in his skin, like. He was, okay. No. So the four tops, you still have the four tops.
I still have them in the car and his hat.
Reach out and I'd be there, the four tops. It's not funny.
It's not, by the way, it's me that laughed.
Sorry, not
it's
you.
Not funny
because
to
it's an awful. My brother drives a taxi, and I know what it's like. If a taxi driver gets assaulted, it's extraordinarily dramatic. Because you're trapped in that cockpit.
Yes, and that would have been my first job this morning, Joe. Because I don't do that at night anymore. It's too dangerous.
Okay.
Because I'm nearly 72 years of age.
Fair play to you.
And my kids won't let me do it, to be honest. I go out in the morning, do a couple of hours. I couldn't move for the rest of the morning.
And have you told your kids what happened this morning?
I told my kids, yes.
What did they say to you, Dad?
Give it up, Dad. Get rid of the play.
And so what did you say?
I was hoping to do it for another year, but I'm going to give it up, Joe. The things are up in August. I'm going to get rid of it.
Oh, because it's only 8 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks away.
That's 6 or 8 weeks.
You're giving it up?
I don't give it up, child. It's not worth it anymore because...
Just Michael, what time did you start work at this morning?
About halfway we came out. I got a drop of diesel and...
Yeah, what time were you up at this morning?
I was up at 5 o'clock.
Good man.
I leave about halfway of... Get me diesel, a few bits in the garage.
Now there's work. There's a hard worker. 70 and 72 is still young, but still you've worked all your life. To get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and then your first fare robs you and tries to beat the living daylights out of you.
That's true.
Have you any help? How are you now?
A bit shook up, Joe. Look at her, get over it. It's only, at the end of the day, it's only money.
Okay, but don't say you're all shook up. That's Elvis. That's not the Four Tops.
They're not the Four Seasons.
Oh, and what do you think of your family saying to you again, Dad, give it up, come on?
Ah, Joe, look at the kids are only taking my health.
Yeah. Now, do you like it? Do you like the job?
I love it, Joe.
Yeah.
It keeps your mind active, Joe.
Yeah. You get great.
I'm a firm believer. At my age, if you give up walking, your mind will go to sleep.
Yeah.
You have nothing to do. You're bored out of your face. So that's the only reason. And I wouldn't be doing major hours. I'd be only doing 4 hours a day. Yeah, 5 hours maximum.
You're up at yeah. 5 o'clock in the morning. That's incredible. That was incredible. And I totally understand how driving a taxi can be as well. Dublin, we're great yappers, and the taxi drivers are great yappers. They're great yappers with tourists. Tourists, you love telling the same way as when I get in a taxi, and I love to hear the taxi's life story. You know what I mean? And which are fascinating, and vice versa. If they ask you, people like chatting with taxi drivers. But you're definitely going to give it up, you think?
I'm definitely going to give it up, Joe, because 99.9% of the people you pick up are perfect.
Yeah, of course.
Get that one bad apple, and that's all there is.
What age was he?
He was, I'd say, about very early 20s.
Oh, for God's sake. What's he doing? I wonder, he's hard.
I wait 3/4 of an hour, no sign of a guard.
Yeah, and
then he rang me back. That was at 6 o'clock. He rang me back at 7:50 and asked me where he was. There was a car on the way out. I said, I'm at home. Where do you think I am?
I'm sure your family's saying you should have driven to the hospital. But anyway, you're at home. Are the guards going to call up to you?
They said he will stop up to me tomorrow night.
Okay.
And I don't blame the guards or the job.
No, I know.
I blame the government. This is a government problem.
It can't be everywhere.
Well, the guards in the city, Joe.
Yeah, but I take that point.
But
the primary problem is that 25-year-old with his four tops on him at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was going out. He was a ne'er-do-well. He wasn't wearing four tops because he was beaten off the cold on the hottest day of the year in Ireland.
I know the reason why they do it.
Yeah.
And I tell you what the reason is. Because he probably mugged somebody with a yellow top on them.
Yeah, I know.
And then he ripped that off and he had a blue top underneath. And the guards are looking for a fella with a yellow top.
Well, and Michael, what have you? You said you've been taxiing for, 20 years?
Yes.
And what were you doing before that?
I was a truck driver. I always walked outdoors my whole life. I couldn't walk indoors, so.
Yeah. And you, before so you drive a truck, and I'm reading out a statement from the guy. Were you driving trucks all over the world or just Ireland?
I drove them all over Ireland. I was out in the continent once. Didn't like it, but that's another job.
Okay. And what do you love about truck driving? And hello to all the truck drivers. I met a few weeks ago, Damien and various other people.
You see different things every day of the week. That's
of course.
The variety of it.
I can understand it. Well, Michael, if you do retire, you'll be a great loss to Dublin. You'll be a great loss to taxi driving, but you'll be a great gain for you and indeed for your family. If any of your family followed you into taxiing?
The eldest son did, Joe.
Okay.
And he got out of it because of all the hassle. He said he couldn't cope with it.
Yeah.
He said, it's too messy, Dad.
Okay, Michael, look, how are you feeling now?
I'm all right, Joe, we'll get there.
Okay, good man. Did you have a lie down?
No, I didn't. I might have been taking me up my garden last house.
Talk about your man with four tops. You had many coats have you put on your daughter's house, too?
I've half of it done, Joe.
Good man. You'll be kept, Michael, you'll be kept. Okay.
Well, you know what you say, Joe, you work for nothing, you'll never be idle.
Yeah, you'll never be idle. Michael Walsh, you're where are you from originally? Where were you born?
I was born in a place called Charlemont Street.
Oh, Charlemont Street.
The hotel is on Charlemont Street.
Up near the canal?
Yeah. I was born right at the side of the canal on Charlemont Lane.
Well done.
In 1952.
And were you born at home?
Oh, everybody was born at home then, Joe.
Because they wanted to be, you want to be near your mother. I know. But all I can say to you, Michael, anytime, reach, when you meet another fellow with four tops, reach out and I'll be there. Do you hear me?
I will. Thank you very much, Joe.
Okay. The great Michael Walsh. Well done. And you should be there. I know your family are. We should be proud of people like Michael Walsh. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Michael Downey, Michael, one of the many anxious Aer Lingus, AA Lingus people, anxious Aer Lingus customers. What's your situation, Michael?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah,
I suppose at this stage we're just kind of waiting in limbo. You know, we've 20 of us flying to Marbella next Wednesday, the day that they go to work to rule. And we don't know what to do. We could book other flights now.
Yeah.
But it'll be at our own expense. And if our own flights go, then, you know, that money is gone. But
how much have you given? Much have you paid to Aer Lingus?
1,700 for me and my family. But that's only five of the 20 flights, you know. So, like, I've mother going and sisters husbands and nieces, nephews.
So, if you paid 1,700 for many people?
I paid 1,700 for five.
Five to Aer Lingus. And many other people are going?
There's 15 flying with Aer Lingus and five flying with Ryanair. So
15. You're between your family, you've paid nearly $8,000 to Aer Lingus.
Yeah, that's just flights alone.
And if you cancel...
Well, we won't be cancelling anyway because there's no kind of option to cancel yet.
If you cancel don't you lose most? Like with most airlines, you lose a lot of the money. 8,000.
I'm not sure what the cancellation policy is now. I know they haven't made a decision on cancellations yet. But say next Wednesday when we're due to fly, if for some reason our flight doesn't go, we'll get the money back for the flight.
Yeah,
but our accommodation is paid for, and trying to get to Malaga then out of Cork will be almost impossible, or could cost 5,000-6,000. We'll lose the money for the house that we've rented over in Marbella. But you know, but like I could book flights today for €700.
So that's the dilemma,
and the five for one way if we wanted to.
Okay.
To book them today on Ryanair. But then if the flight does go, that €700 is wasted. The not knowing that kind of is the worst part, really.
It's a not knowing, and are you tempted again? You'd be shelling out more. Are you tempted to shell out €700?
At the moment, it's probably a good idea to do it to guarantee us going.
Yeah.
But come next Wednesday, that might be a bad idea. Our flight might go as normal.
Yeah. You see, that's the. That is the awful situation about the method that Forza have chosen to drive home their dispute. I'm reading an article on the Journal last night by Liam Doherty, who's an industrial relations expert. He's a consultant. He's a PhD in conflict management and dispute resolution. Mm-hmm. But can we call in Liam? And he says this is what the walk to rule means is. It basically means they will walk to the rules of this contract, but will do no more than that. It is a limited form of industrial action designed to minimise the cost to the employee, i.e. the members of Forza, they won't lose any money, while maximising the disruption caused to the employer, which is true because the shorter notice Aer Lingus give you of a flight being gone, the more they have to pay you, and that's the way it's going to fall. But what Liam doesn't say, and maybe he says it later on, it's no fault of Liam, it's a very well-written, well-researched article. What Liam leaves out there, but what everyone has left out, the Forces industrial action is designed to minimise the cost to the employee, maximising the cost to Aer Lingus, and I'll throw in a line, and destroying the chances of many people of having their well-earned family holiday.
Exactly, yeah. Like, my wife now won't be able to go on another holiday if we don't get to go on this. Her time is booked off. She can't just ring work and say, I can come back in now. Can I give it another week in July or August? That's her week gone. I work for myself, so I can actually be a bit more flexible, but she can't. And, you know, also we won't get the money back for the,
now, the, other
for
thing,
the house that we've booked.
The other thing I heard Aer Lingus saying, and they said it in the papers this morning, that since the vote last Friday morning, and that was the electronic vote, which Aer Lingus refused to accept, the Forza went apoplectic at, in my words, but their statement was pretty florid in saying this is outrageous that Aer Lingus have said that we, the electronic vote, we know we'd win it in the High Court, but we're not going to the High Court, but we're going to, we'll have another ballot. They had a very quick ballot over the weekend. And then when the result came out on Monday, which was basically the same as the electronic vote, no surprise, really. Nobody, I don't think anyone believes any union would fiddle with a vote in this day and age. But when the vote came out on Monday morning, the statement of the union said this is a resounding, I think the word was a magnificent endorsement of the union leadership. It's nothing to do with macho leadership. It's to do with getting people getting what they paid for. Who do you, and I know, and by the way, Aer Lingus are saying since Friday there's been blue flu in Dublin Airport, that the number of pilots calling in sick compared to previous Fridays or previous weeks has gone up dramatically. They haven't given us an exact figure, but the number of pilots calling in sick at short notice since last Friday. So the work the rule, it seems, has effectively begun. Now, I know when you say that, people would say, oh, you can't get a sick pilot. And I know that. But the stat is, if on an average few days, the number of people calling into any business goes up dramatically, there's either a pandemic or else there's another reason. And it's, but anyway, and I'm sure everyone,
I think there was 3 flights in Cork that were cancelled already.
Yeah, and there was a number in Dublin, number of flights we're hearing delayed for long, long periods. But anyway, I see that dilemma. You've got to say, will I gamble? I've already paid nearly $2,000 to Aer Lingus, but will I gamble £700 to get a one-way flight from Ryanair, fair play? But if the Aer Lingus goes ahead, I lose my £700.
Well, yeah, exactly. But and if the early, yeah, so
and then you have to worry about getting back.
Exactly, and but if we wait until next Wednesday, and we've got like there's going to be 15 of us in the airport, 10 children, half of them crying if we're not getting on an airplane.
I know.
Probably half their mothers crying as well. But and then we'll try and book flight season Stansted in London and get a connecting flight from London, which I can book today. They'll be €1,000 each back by then.
But if Forza turned around and said, the ballot wasn't for any specific type of action. It was for industrial action up to and including strikes. So there could be any variations. If Forza had said, actually, we're going to go on strike on June the 27th, to July the 4th, that would have allowed people prep more for those particular days. You could have told the kids, listen, we'll be gone, but it might be a different day, and let's sort that out. But the difference is that if the pilots go on strike, they don't get paid. They don't get paid.
Yeah, exactly. But as well, of course, they want to cost the airline as much as they can by not allowing them to have the 15 days to cancel flights.
Yeah, but this is a new element in the industrial disputes. Okay, people are totally and completely and absolutely entitled to go on strike. But the strike in itself should be the punishment on the company. But then when you say, actually, we're going to pick the time of the strike to do maximum damage in terms of our employer's income, and you're nearly cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, well, but maybe, what's your, I'm just going at a perception I'm getting from people who talk to me and phone in here, and they're not happy with the, what way do you view the dispute? Because both sides, the arguments from both sides are pole, North Pole, South Pole, and colder in either end of the compass there. But what do you think of what the pilots are looking for, from what you know?
Sounds like they're looking for too much. Labour Court reckons 10% or 9% or something. They're looking for 24. Does sound a little bit over the top. Maybe they're going in at 24 and hoping that the Aer Lingus come back and say, we'll give you 15. But I've also heard things that they're looking to backdate it to January of last year. And, you know, I just can't see that that's viable. And at the end of the day, it's the customers who are going to pay it. You know, the airline isn't going to pay it. Airfares are going to go up. Simple as that. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. The customer, especially the fact we live on an island. We've either get
I don't think they've any consideration for the customers, to be honest. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing it at this time of the year. You know, all the primary schools get on holidays next Thursday. That's the biggest exodus then in July and August. So
I forgot that. Yeah, I should know. My daughter's a teacher. But next Thursday is it the breakup day?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Okay, Michael. By the way, the other story I heard last night was from someone that came up to me saying they're getting married in Marbella, is it? One of those resorts, and there's 40 of them booked with Aer Lingus.
Crikey.
Obviously for a specific day and a specific, well, obviously to stay for a few days, but the wedding is 2 or 3 days, a specific day, a specific hotel, a specific location, specific music, florists, photographers, then you have the next day and you're peppering, will we all get out, how many would we, what's the quota, if 20 of us go out, will we go ahead with the wedding? It's a real serious worry. Well, maybe now that, I don't think they would have known. I don't think they would not have known now that Aer Lingus and Force realise the upset caused to people. And I know it's a first world problem. And I heard the previous night, I heard from somebody in a much more difficult situation, bringing her child to see her granny living abroad, obviously, for the first time. And she's up the walls because she's booked with Aer Lingus as well. They're important. But anyway,
I'll be slow enough to book with them again, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, that's the problem.
Well,
I'll book
elsewhere if the choice is there, I'll be honest with you, because it's just going to leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Okay. Michael, I hope you all get away. I really do, and especially your mother and people who have booked specific holidays and can't be changing them. Thanks indeed, Michael Downey. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, an unusual request on Liveline. Hopefully it will be music to your ears and hopefully we can help. And it's Sinead Farrell that's contacted us. Sinead, formerly of this parish, she plays piccolo extraordinarily well, as does every member and every instrumentalist in our National Symphony Orchestra. Sinead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. And I haven't seen you in a while because of the location. Where do you rehearse now?
Well, we're based in the National Concert Hall still, Joe. So, we'd love to see you at any stage that you fancy.
But we miss you from the radio centre.
Oh, sure, look, I miss you too, Joe. We used to run into you at the old canteen.
Yeah, you're always great. And by the way, most of the radio centre is nearly empty now. Let's turn it into a library or apartments or something. But anyway, Sinead, you have a very unusual request, but a very noble call. Go ahead, Sinead.
Okay, Joe. So basically, I just have this dream to create an orchestra in Nairobi for the children in the slums.
Okay.
And it sounds a bit bizarre, but a very close friend of mine, Paula Cullen in Wicklow, who's a fantastic volunteer at the Makori Promotion Centre in Nairobi, and Paula and Irene and several other wonderful ladies volunteer in the Rehabilitation Centre in Nairobi. And the centre and the schools and the Promotion Centre were originally set up by Sister Mary Colleen, who's an Irish nun, and she's from the Sisters of Mercy. And she was originally from Phibsborough, and she's in her late 70s now. And Sister Mary has lived out in Nairobi for the last 40 years. She's been awarded for her humanitarian work by Michael D. Higgins in 2018. And she's just an extraordinary nun, an extraordinary woman. And she basically went into the slums in Nairobi and decided to build schools because the children were basically wandering around the streets and had absolutely zero care. A lot of the children have been abandoned, particularly boys, because an awful lot of the female children are sold or they can get dowries for them. So basically the boys kind of suffer a little bit more in that sense.
Okay.
An awful lot of abuse and things goes on for the poor girls and boys too. So it's just a dreadful situation. But there's very positive, amazing work happening in the schools, and they don't have a music department, so they have wonderful sports facilities and amazing donations from different people in Ireland and all over the world. And because of such wonderful Irish connections between Sister Mary and Paula Cullen, and I'm a good friend of Paula's, and the story started basically because Paula got in touch and said, Sinead, you don't know of anybody who'd have a spare violin lying around gathering dust that nobody's using. And I kind of didn't really know where to start, but I kind of asked around my friends in the National Symphony Orchestra and other wonderful musicians all around the country, and offers just started coming in for different instruments that people wanted to donate. And the children had a visit from an Australian opera singer, and she basically left a violin, and the kids were completely just transfixed by this violin. And you're talking about children who have no food, and their resources are just so minimal, Joe. It's incredible. So to be able to give them the gift that they could have an after school program for music that they would have for themselves, there's a wonderful healing power in music, and these children have been through such dreadful atrocities, and they're undergoing counselling in the rehabilitation centre. They get fed, and then they're integrated back into the school system, the slum schools, so that they can have an education and that they can go on to.
So what are we looking for, Sinead? To tell me the standard of the type of instrument and the standard of instrument you're looking for.
So basically any functioning instrument, Joe. So any musical instruments that are in good enough working order.
Yeah.
We're just looking for donations for instruments for the kids so that they can have instruments to play and that they can teach each other as well. As we're going to try and employ music teachers that can go in a couple of times a week, because you can employ people in Nairobi at much less salary, you know, on a much lower salary grade than obviously in Ireland.
Comparatively,
comparatively, exactly. Your money goes a lot further, you know. So we're looking for mostly instrument donations, but also if people want to contribute for music lessons and stuff like that, and for resources for the children, they're absolutely welcome to do that too.
So, and we're talking oboes, French horns, cellos, violins.
Flutes,
piccolos, of course,
saxophones.
And do you think so that's clear. You want any instrument that you've ever seen in an orchestra, so to speak. if you have one in the attic, a trumpet, I presume, can we go to sax? We can't we? We can go to brass, of course you can in symphony. Someone said, maybe people ring in and tell us that they have a violin up in their attic for the last 20 years. Is that, that hasn't been touched?
I mean, some of the most gorgeous violins in the world are 100 years old, Joe. Do you know? So with a little bit of basic maintenance, most of them can be tweaked and altered and doctored, you know, so that's not a bother. Your instrument that's gathering dust in the attic or under the stairs would get such a wonderful home and bring so much joy to children over in Nairobi.
Can you imagine? Maybe you can enlighten me. I remember coming across a few years ago. It was on YouTube. It was an orchestra. I think it was in Bangladesh, made up of people who'd previously lived on the street. And it had the most, as any orchestra, but had the most incredible, uplifting, joyous outpourings of happiness and ecstasy, just through both through the musicians and through the music, through us who were listening and those who were playing. It's an incredible reciprocal gift for that people have. So, Sinead, how do people contact you to start with?
Well, you can email directly. So you can email Music for Mukuru. So it's M-U-K-U-R-U.
Yeah, great.
At gmail.com.
Brilliant. Music Music for Mukuru. Music, all in one word. Music, F-O-R. Music for M-U-K-U-R-U.
Yeah.
M-U-K, very simple. Music for Mukuru at gmail.com. Put in the subject line, I have a violin or I have, and then you put in your details and you will go through. Now, is there any...
We have a Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page in case that's more handier or more accessible for people. So again, it's Music for Mukuru, and we'll be able to contact you and chat through that as well. That's no problem.
What about a cello?
Well, do you know, a gorgeous woman in the orchestra yesterday said to me, I have a cello case that is being unused. Would that be of use if somebody has a cello but they don't have a case? So if you have cases or music stands or books or music or any sort of regalia that people would use in an orchestral setting or even in a band setting, do you know that... We're just looking to get a music department up and running for the kids, and just... Music has that amazing transferability that they will be able to put on concerts for their families and maybe generate a little bit of money in the area. And, you know, it just, the possibilities are endless once we can get instruments out to the kids. And we have ways of transporting stuff as well. So there are ways and means, as they say, but we would just love to do it for them so that they can have an after-school music program. And if they're going home to sleep in the slums in the evening, that they'll have had that escapism for themselves for a few hours. It would just be priceless to them.
So the key word is Mukuru, M-U-K-U-R-U, and it's Music from Mukuru at gmail.com. If you have a specific historic instrument, tell us if you wish. And if you tell us, we'll tell the story, and that will hopefully encourage other people tomorrow to dig deep or dig up and dig down and ask around for musical instruments. There you are there. Exactly. Do you recognise yourself there? There's our wonderful symphony orchestra. Now, can I ask a very personal question, Sinead?
Go on, of course, always. Anything.
Is the coffee in the National Concert Hall any better than the coffee in RT?
I know. The National Concert Hall take very good care of us, to be fair. So we have a lovely at home here.
Which we're missed. Okay, our wonderful, wonderful, historic National Symphony Orchestra, formerly the RTE National Symphony Orchestra. They are through Sinead, and Sinead is the one that's leading it, as you can hear. A piccolo player through Sinead Farrell are saying to music lovers everywhere, one, you can go onto their is Music for Mukuru. Will that get me onto your Facebook as well, Sinead?
Yeah,
brilliant.
It will be, Joe. We've a GoFundMe page there as well. If people want to contribute, they're welcome.
What are you rehearsing at the minute?
So we're rehearsing John Williams at the minute. We have a concert tomorrow night, and it's going very well. So we were playing E.T. and Star Wars and all of the John Williams classics, Harry Potter and all sorts of great tunes. So, we had a great morning of it, and we were rehearsing the same programme yesterday. So we're looking forward to the concert tomorrow night as well. So if anyone ever fancies coming to see us,
NCH.
We'd love to see you.
Okay, and one of the great joys of working, or indeed visiting the radio centre, where most of us have gone out, and as I say, including yourself, was that you could listen to the rehearsals of our concert, our wonderful concert orchestra and our wonderful symphony orchestra. But now you're under the aegis of the NCH. So Sinead, whatever we can do, we will do.
I really appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much for chatting.
We will pull as many strings as we can. We will blow. We will blow as many trumpets as we can.
Yeah, blow that trumpet our way for sure.
We will beat as many drums as we can.
Absolutely, Joe. Yeah, we'd love to hear it all.
Well
more.
Done. What a fantastic project, Sinead. What a fantastic the gift of music to young people in Nairobi and Kenya who've been through hell.
Yeah. I mean, we just believe every child on the planet should have access to music and absolutely should have it in their lives.
Okay, go back into your rehearsal. They say they're all waiting. Who's conducting? Who's conducting?
Anthony Gavrielli is conducting tomorrow night. He's a fantastic
You say the maestro
Anthony. Than Maestro, exactly. Yes. Yeah, he's quite low-key and chilled out and not too Maestro-esque.
Well, tell Maestro we're all asking for him, as we all always are for our colleagues, so to speak, former colleagues in the National Symphony. Great to hear from you, Sinead. A fantastic project.
Thank you so much.
Anything else we can do, write that down. I'll tweet it now in a sec. Music for Mukuru, M-U-K-U-R-U @gmail.com. If you have an instrument, or indeed just Google Music for Mukuru, make sure it's Music for Mukuru, and if you want to go on to the Facebook, and I'm sure there's a way of helping in any other way, you thank. Go to meet him, I've got Sinead Farrell, joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The temperature in Dublin is hitting 20 degrees. This could be our summer. This could be our summer. In Wexford is 16 degrees, and that's basically what is all we want. I don't know what it is. What is it, Claire? Good afternoon. What is it in Tramore? Do you know today?
I don't actually live in Tramore, but I'm sure it's very, very warm down there.
Yeah, it's no rain expected. A very moderate breeze. And my app is telling me that it's 18 degrees. And so we're in the middle of our summer. People are back on the beaches. What happened, Claire?
So, okay, for people that wouldn't be familiar with Tramore Beach, you have the promenade and then you can take a long walk up the beach.
Yeah, no, well.
So I was on my way back towards the promenade the other night, and I'd say there was myself, one other person on the beach, and next to her I see this woman with her two dogs. So as soon as I saw her, I just said, you know, can you hold your dogs, please?
Yeah, okay.
And she didn't.
So when you say she was with her two dogs, she wasn't with her two dogs because they weren't on a lead.
They weren't on a lead,
okay.
No.
Okay. So you saw the two dogs, and what happened?
I knew the dogs started to come towards me, but while they were still beside her, I said, can you hold your dogs, please?
Yeah.
She didn't, so they ran over to me. Now, luckily enough, but because I met a dog on a previous incident in Tramore, I now carry a rucksack. So I had something to shield myself. So I took off my rucksack, but I had her two dogs, one in front of me and one at my side, and I was absolutely petrified. She didn't call them back. And it just felt like forever until they... And I was so traumatized. I don't really know. Eventually, she was walking on and the dogs were gone. But
The dogs were lively, to say the least.
Oh, they were lively, yes, yes. They ran over to me like, you know, when you see a dog running towards you. Like it's...
Well, if you're afraid of dogs, your natural reaction is to recoil and maybe run. And that makes the dogs more boisterous and robust and but if you stand your ground, but then again, if you have a fear of dogs, which a lot of people have, you stand your ground. There's 9 out of 10 times when you stand your ground, the dog might keep coming at you. That's the problem. But the owner, the ad on the radio at the minute says, what about the owners? Did the owner ignored your screams?
Absolutely. Didn't even say sorry to me. Didn't even say sorry. Didn't call the dogs. Just looked at me like, you know, but didn't say sorry, didn't, nothing.
And did you say anything to her that you can repeat on that show?
I said 4 words, which you wouldn't like me to say on the radio. Because
Are obviously, I can hear in your voice, you're very soft-spoken. I presume you said, hold your dogs, please. Call your dogs, please.
Well, that's what I said at first.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Oh, no. When I saw her first, but it was just when she went to walk off with her dogs, and when she hadn't said sorry, I just told her what I thought of her in about 4 words. I was polite initially. Like, I was like, you know, I said, can you please hold your dogs?
And like most people who are afraid of dogs, you had an incident. You had a previous incident with a dog, did you not?
Yes, Pitbull ran up to me on the same beach last year.
Oh, no. No thanks. Claire, good warning for the weekend that's in it. Please, I know some beaches allow
dogs off leashes at certain times. But seriously, if there's people, other people on a beach, you have to keep your dog on a lead, even out of civility. Thanks indeed, Claire. She's back in the Midlands. Garda Press Office say there was no units available at 6 o'clock this morning. They were all responding to other incidents. And what was going on in Dublin? I know I'm not naive. 6 o'clock this morning. The Gardaí suggested the injured party, which is the wonderful St. Michael Walsh, attend the station. The Gardaí later attended the location, which is Central Bank, but the Cardinal Michael, they arrived nearly 7 o'clock. He was attacked at 6 o'clock by the fella in the four tops, and arrangements are being made for a statement to be taken. Okay, and they're taking it seriously, as they always do, in Pierce Street Garda Station, and well done there. Okay, back tomorrow, 1:45, Chris O'Connor on Sound Research, Clara Hughes, Broadcast Coordinator, Shane Galvin and Richard Stern produced, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Step into summer with our new curtain designs and colours. Explore our latest designs in store or online.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.